Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Graham Norton Radio Show.
How exciting is this?
With Waitrose.
Over on Virgin Radio.
Up and at 'em, come on, things to do. Don't cheer, you'll just embarrass yourselves. We're not bored of it yet, so it's lovely. There's no stopping 'em. No stopping 'em.
The Graham Norton Radio Show.
Oh, there's nothing nicer, is there? Nothing nicer.
With Waitrose. Food to feel good about.
I mean, what's not to like?
Saturday and Sunday from 9:30.
Over on Virgin Radio.
He's a comedian, presenter, and absolutely prolific author. He's added extra chapters for the 10th anniversary edition of his smash hit kids book, The Parent Agency, out now. So stand by, everyone, as we befeel the bazeel of David Baddiel.
Yes!
Hello,
the Baddiel
everybody.
Is in us. Hello, David.
I'm back.
You
on
are
your
back.
Show, as I've written another children's book. So
yes.
This is where I announce it.
Oh, my gosh. The Parent Agency, pick your perfect mum and dad. Yo, Barry, David Baddiel, funny, something, times moving, always engaging, The Guardian. I reread it last night,
wow.
But of course, within the rereading, I was reading new chapters as well.
Yeah, the new chapters, which are nicked from the musical. Did you notice that?
I didn't notice that whatsoever, but I've got to tell you, I've forgotten how much I love this book.
Oh, well, thank you.
Honestly, Dave, it's such a great book.
Thank you so much.
It's got everything. It's so heartfelt. It's so heartwarming. It has that amazing, really sort of tough, hard, dramatic twist at the end, which I'd completely forgotten about.
Yeah.
It's awesome, David. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Shall I tell people again what it's about?
In a minute. Okay. Just come a bit closer
to the mic. Oh, sorry.
First of all, we'll talk about Jelly Babies.
Jelly
and
Babies.
Then let's talk a bit about The Office as well. And we're going to talk about the book. This book, The Parent Agency, 10th anniversary release, is out now. It is fantastic. I read it because David's on the show and I've got kids, but I read it last night thinking, I just want to read it anyway. And I slowed down. I was reading a book for the show. That's a different kind of read.
Yeah.
And I just slowed down and I just enjoyed it. And it brought me to tears and I loved it.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Hilarious. It's funny. It's all that stuff. We'll talk about it in a second or two. Jelly Babies.
Yes. So I see you've been talking about Jelly Babies.
Yes.
I can't actually hear in the green room. I just saw them. And I love sweets. It's something that my children find a bit ridiculous about me because I am 59 and I shouldn't like sweets. But I do. I really want sweets all the time. And I don't know about you, but my big thing, even when I look at those, is are they sour sweets?
Right.
Because I am obsessed with sour sweets.
Yes.
And that's because when I was a kid, I used
As is Barry.
Yeah, as is Barry.
In the book.
Yeah. That's odd, that, isn't it? Anyway, I used to go to my local newsagent back before the war, and they used to give me in a paper bag, it really wasn't a paper bag, apple drops.
Yep.
And they were both tart and sweet.
They were.
And I am obsessed with that, and I don't know if you can find it anymore. Quite the same level of sour sweetness.
I think you can.
Can you find it in a Jelly Baby? That's my question.
I'm not sure. We could give it a go. Do you remember the kite bags in the sweet shop?
The kite bags?
Yeah, so you used to get a quarter of sweets.
Yeah.
And they were in the sort of rectangular bag, or the rhomboid bag.
Yeah, rhomboid.
And then if you went for 2 ounces, you got a kite bag. Which is a bit like a cone.
Oh, really? Yes.
Remember those?
Well, yes, yes.
And they were on string, and the newsagent used to rip them off with
now,
some panache.
Now you've gone too niche.
Oh, well, I used to be a newsagent.
Did you?
Yeah, I was a newsagent for years.
In Warrington?
Yeah.
All right.
And I loved every second of it.
And this was a bagging thing that involved special bagging.
It was amazing.
Okay. Well, no, I just used to go. Like in here, there's an obsession with sweets, isn't there? The whole thing with Mr.
We're all obsessed with sweets.
Yeah, with Bottom Sweets, I believe, is a shop at one point in the Parent Agency. But the one that I went to outside Dollis Hill Tube Station, where I used to go every day, used to have properly like the rows.
The jars
behind.
Bring on the jars.
See, now, if you see that, it's kind of ironic. It's kind of self-conscious, isn't it? We're trying to be like an oldie-worldy sweet shop. But that was an oldie-worldy sweet shop.
It really
shop.
Was. But, yeah. I mean, we'll take them being self-conscious about it. We don't really mind. It's all fine.
Yeah.
And by the way, you are correct in what you're saying. It's old Mother Hubbard has a franchise and all this kind of... There are different kinds of franchise, aren't there? Like Mr. and Mrs. Sweets and all this kind of stuff. But I think they've now crossed whatever the Rubicon is of trying to recreate, you know, what went on before via some kind of nostalgic here and now.
Yes.
And they have earned their right to be back in play in the present.
Right, as a straightforward,
I would say so.
Sweet shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, no longer a sort of slightly self-conscious sweet shop.
No.
This is just sweets.
Yeah, but it was for a while. Because it's like re-entry.
Yes, exactly.
You know, would they burn up on re-entry or not? And they just about made it through.
Right.
And in Marlow, we have an amazing version. We have a amazing sweet shop. We have lots of jars. And as a newsagent, as a sweet shop manager, we had a couple of tins within the jars, which were jar shaped, but they were tins, and they were for, as I remember, the Victory V's,
right,
the Fisherman's Friends, and the Fox's Glacier Mint.
Right, well, jars, tins within the jars.
No, so they were exactly like the jars,
right,
but they were made of tin.
Wow.
And I don't know why that was.
Yeah.
But I always wondered.
Wheels within wheels.
And I'm still wondering now.
Yeah, no one will know. But I do still like sweets. And I am a person,
yes,
who, if I have a meal, almost any meal, almost including breakfast, I can't really not have something sweet afterwards.
To
it's like
it
a
off.
Sentence without a full stop.
I agree.
For me. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
It's like you think, like, things are not over. They're not over because I haven't had my sweet thing after a meal. Now, that can be a fruit pastel.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a posh pudding.
Yeah.
Because those aren't always available.
Well, a pastel is a miniature pudding anyway.
All sweets are miniature puddings.
That's what they are, isn't
it? They really are. They're portable puddings.
And you can get miniature pudding sweets, can't you?
Can you?
Yeah, of course. You get rhubarb and custard, for example.
Yes.
You can
yes.
get that. You can get sticky toffee pudding flavoured things.
You can. I mean, I would say a rhubarb and custard sweet never really tastes like rhubarb and custard. certainly doesn't taste like the cartoon. That's what
no,
I find.
100% with you on that one. Yeah. You're always tired. You're more tired than usual today.
Yeah.
You need some fast sugar. You need some more jelly babies.
I could have. Do you know what happened? Like, the reason that I'm tired is that I always sleep badly, but I was asleep. And then my daughter, who is not 8, she's 22, came up saying she couldn't sleep. And so I then woke up and then she went off to sleep and I then couldn't.
Right.
So I've been awake since 4, waiting to do this show.
Well, we've been awake since 3:45.
Oh, actually, sorry, I forgot that.
Yeah.
I forgot that you're
talking to the
up.
Wrong crowd
yeah, no,
here,
I
David.
Am. I'm so sorry. But you probably went...
Yesterday? 3:45?
Yeah, 3:45.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, 3:45.
Yeah, what's your point?
I'm sorry. Is your daughter, Vassals, too old now to review my book?
No, she's got a review of this one, although she had already read it.
Yeah, some time ago when it first came
before
out.
Before she was born.
But she absolutely loved the second reading of it, or did she? Because
oh.
I always like to put a bit of Jeopardy
in
these reviews.
Yeah, although right. I've come on the show a lot. She's reviewed my books a lot. So far, she's never done a hatchet job.
Okay.
But there's always a first time.
Don't put your headphones on yet.
Okay,
I just want to keep the pin in there for a second or two. I just want to talk to you about your sleep.
Okay.
I think I might sleep less than you. I don't sleep for more than 3 hours a night, ever.
Really?
Ever. I slept for 4 hours once about 2 weeks ago. Do you remember?
Yeah, you were insufferable.
Any particular reason why? What have you delved into? Because I have read all the books. I've done all the courses. Mm. Anything I can help you with, even though I've not overcome it myself. And do you want to have a sleep chat or not?
I'm happy to have a sleep chat. I mean, I have an issue, many issues with sleep. One of the things is I noticed that insomnia is not taken absolutely seriously as a condition. Like if you tell people that you've got insomnia, they'll
always
say...
What's your definition of insomnia?
Sleeping, well, in my case, not being able to get to sleep.
Right.
And then waking up a lot during the night, and particularly waking up and then feeling very, very awake and unable to get back to sleep.
And anxious?
Anxious, not about anything in particular.
Hypertense?
Sort of a bit of moving, what's it called?
Increased
restless
heart
legs.
Rate?
Yeah, restless legs, a bit of that. I just want to get this line out because it's basically a gag. If you tell people you've got insomnia, it's a very old joke of mine, I'm just doing it, you've got insomnia, they'll tend to say, I don't know if you've ever had this, oh really, because I'm always asleep as soon as my head hits the pillow. And what I always think is, right, if I told you I was blind, would you say, oh really, because I could see perfectly? Fact. It's a very old gag, but I thought if I'm going to talk
nice,
seriously
though.
About sleep, I'm never going to get the gag out, so I need to do that.
Insomnia, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what my definition of insomnia is, what the definition really is. I now know yours, because I have no trouble getting to sleep whatsoever,
right?
But I wake up every 90 minutes, almost, you could set your clock by it. Sometimes I stay wake a bit longer. I'm very good at getting back to sleep because I have so much practice at getting back to sleep.
But hang on, 3 hours a night, you just said.
So 3 hours is the longest I will sleep for.
Oh, I see.
Within the 8 or 9 hours.
I see. So how long are you awake in the wakefulness periods generally?
Six, 7 minutes. I always have to go to the toilet.
Yes, yes.
Always, always, always have to go to the toilet.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, so you imagine that's an old man thing, but I used to have that when I was a kid.
Right.
I used to, I don't know how much this is going to be gross, but I think it's okay. I used to be awake thinking I could go to the toilet.
Uh-huh.
That was enough when I was a kid to get me up and, you know, going to the toilet, and that would ruin my sleep when I was young. So,
have you heard the erectile function theory?
I don't like the sound of it.
Okay, so if you have nighttime erections,
right,
it is a sign of excellent mental health.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
And lack of psychological trauma.
Wow.
And if that doesn't happen to you, especially in the mornings when you wake up,
yeah,
as a man of a certain age, then it can be indicative, not always, of course, it can be indicative of something else, some other things that you may want to delve into.
Okay.
Don't have an issue with that. And I thought it was worrying the other way.
Yeah.
But apparently it's not. And one of the things, of course, that sleep deprivation can rob you of is mental stability.
Yes.
So it's not that with me.
Yes. Okay. So I'm not going to go into my erectile function.
Yeah.
But what I have done quite a lot of work on the sleep thing. I've been to sleep clinics. I actually did a podcast called Sleeping with David Baddiel, in which I investigated every single thing you can do for sleeping. And at the moment, I take a lot of supplements. I mean, like a barrel load of supplements. I sort of just
magnesium,
L-theanine, I think is good.
Apigenin.
All of them, and licorice is supposed to be good. Do you
know
about that?
Yeah, licorice is good. Also, kiwi fruit. A couple of hours before,
About that. I haven't done the kiwi fruit thing.
But apparently, it's all about. Because I have a very active mind.
Yeah,
you
so
know
do
that.
I.
Anyway, and so do you. Maybe we're just a bit too excited for our own good. And that genuinely might be it.
I'll tell you what I've got is I've got a breathing app, right? And the breathing app just makes a noise, like, bruh, bruh, for breathing in and breathing out. And last night, my wife said, please don't put the bagpipes on, right? Because that's what it does sound like.
Oh, right. Because I don't even sleep in the same room as my wife.
Oh,
because of this issue.
No, I still sleep in the same room as my wife, and she has to deal with me.
It's funny because the bar, because you can go online and you get these Hertz tapes. You know the Hertz tapes?
No.
Because there's a certain frequency that is.
Oh, it's supposed to be right for your alpha waves.
Yeah, to help you to go to sleep. And I think it's 568 or 562, something like that. But then there's the different things that you're talking about, which is to do with the different chakras, but one of them is the brown sound. Have you heard about the brown sound?
No.
Because one of yours there sounded a bit like the brown sound, and the brown sound is the sound you want to listen to if you're constipated. Yes, because it helps with the passage of time.
I understand what it helps with.
Yeah, it's called the brown sound.
The brown sound.
Yes.
Can we play it? Or will there be mass going to the toilet if you play it?
We have played it. And apparently, if you have the opposite issue, especially if you're on the go...
Yeah.
You seem to you feel like
colour that is.
A case of the runs on the go. It's not a sound, it's a colour. So if you imagine traffic lights are very handy, right? So the traffic light green, which is a sort of it's more of a turquoise kind of marine green, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's not as deep a green as you might think if you think about it. If you imagine that colour, it will help. It will buy you another minute or two, apparently.
Really.
Well, it doesn't say apparently. No, not apparently. I know.
Right. Okay.
Why did I say apparently? Yeah. So pathetic.
Well, no, it's worth saying because if anyone tries it, thinks like, well, I've got the
Well,
runs.
Why wouldn't you?
Well,
what's the downside?
The downside is if someone thought, right, oh, I've got a bit of a problem there, but I'm going to try and make it to wherever I need to go without going to the toilet because Chris Evans has told me that all I have to do is imagine... Dr. Evans has just said imagine a traffic light green and then that doesn't work out for them, right, and things go wrong. Yeah. I think you could be very deeply sued for that.
Yeah, I could deeply something.
Yeah.
I could be in deep something or other, not unlike the person seeing me. This book, The Parent Agency, the 10th year anniversary. I read it yesterday. I was going to give it a show read, which is a quick read. And I started to read it. I thought, oh, I remember. And I just love Barry. I love his mum and dad. It reminds me so much of my own childhood.
Yeah.
So much of how, as you're a kid, you have no idea how much your mum and dad love you, if you're fortunate enough to have a mum and dad who love you so much, and how much they're trying to do for you on a daily basis when you can be forgiven for surmising they may trying to be doing the opposite.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, really, Barry just has ordinary parents, yeah. right? He has parents who probably are, who are trying to do the best for him, but he's an 11-year-old boy, he's clever, he's a bit uppity, and he basically thinks he should have better parents. I think it comes down to when I was a kid, my mate Dave Gavrin, who's in the Sundays, right? A band called the Sundays,
right.
Who haven't released any music for years, but they're a brilliant band. He gave me, when I was about 12, an avocado. And I'd never had any food like it in my life. It was like an epiphany for me. There is another world
yeah.
beyond the Dollis Hill sweet shop, yeah. beyond my mum's terrible chicken soup. And I thought, I want his parents, because they've given him this, right? I think that was it. And so I do think, because all my children's books, this is supposed to be the 10th anniversary edition, because I've written 10 children's books, and they all have children in it who want something, right? And I think all kids want a little bit other parents. So what Barry does is he wishes for better parents, and he goes into a world run by kids in which he's allowed to audition, essentially, different parents to find his perfect set of parents.
Yeah, he's allowed to road test a different couple yeah. every day, Monday through Friday.
That's right.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's in this imaginary make-believe, or is it, world, which seems to be staffed by his best friends who are in denial of them ever having known each other.
That's right, yeah.
And their uniform, because kids run the parent agency, of course they do, their uniform is various onesies.
It's onesies, and they the parent controllers, which are his friends, speak through megaphones. And at the centre of it, one of his best mates appears to be called the head of the parent agency, which is a big, slightly Stalinist building
yep.
that he goes
in
to.
In the centre of Kingdom.
Youngden.
Youngden, that's
Youngden,
right.
Youngden, in the centre of Youngden.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, the basically parents come to be meted out for children, and parents are desperate to, you know, have these children, to get them to come to their houses and tell them that their houses have 7 toilets and things like that,
yeah.
and they wouldn't have to eat vegetables and whatever. So Barry is suddenly accosted with all these options, and he goes, he goes first of all for rich parents, which is very me, because Dave Gavrin's parents were rich.
And there's a bit of Brangelina going on there.
Yeah, then he goes later on for celebrity parents, he goes for parents who are very fit and healthy because his parents are tired, basically the opposite of what he thinks
and then
his
the cool parents,
parents are. The cool parents who let him do whatever he likes.
Rich parents.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I've noticed from, because this is 10 years old, and the two extra chapters I put in with this are from the musical, because I used the lyrics from the musical, and I just had Barry and friends bursting into song, because I've written that already. There's going to be a musical of it next year, which I wrote with Amazing. Dan Gillespie-Sells, the guy from
we love
The Feeling, who yeah. wrote Everyone's Talking About Jamie. But what I also do is I go to schools, and I talk about whatever about my books, but I always talk about the parent agency. I'll tell you why. So that I can go into the audience and say, I know you love your parents, but do any of you want to tell me who you would like to have?
Brilliant.
If you could have parents just for a day. And honestly, they go crazy, because a kid will say Cristiano Ronaldo and Beyonce, and the rest of them are like, that's happened now. That's really happened. You are the son of those people. How exciting. And they all really want it. And it's really, really exciting and fun. The only problem is, over the last 10 years, they have started to say people I don't know who they are.
Of course.
They've started, and I have to say, is that a YouTuber?
Can you remember any names, for example?
Oh, well,
Beast.
I think when they first started to say KSI, I thought, who's that? And now I know who that is.
Yeah.
But no, now they say people who are basically playing Call of Duty,
yeah.
you know, 24 hours a day on stream, and I don't, or Twitch.
Get paid a fortune for it.
Get paid a fortune for it, and I don't know who they are.
Yeah, yeah.
I tell you, though, kids love money. Like, a lot of them say, I want my dad to be Elon Musk.
But a lot of the YouTubers who they love, including Mr. Beast, you know, it's all about the money. In Mr. Beast's case, it's for good, but there's a lot of money chat
yes.
going
yeah,
on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Every so often, a child says, I'd like my dad to be David Williams, and I take that as a personal insult.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Love music? Love interviews with lovely musicians? Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
It won't be like this forever, so just enjoy it while it's here. It's a really wonderful thing.
And James Bay.
It's about me. It's about my relationship with Lucy. It sums up so much of what went into writing this whole album. We're all works in progress. I still don't necessarily know who I am.
And Depeche Mode's Dave Gahan remembering the late, great Andy Fletcher.
I'll be honest with you, the first thought that came in my head was, I wish I'd been a bit kinder.
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
Youngden, there's a lovely map of Youngden. So this is like, what, you know, how kids would design London or how they'd rename London. So instead of the Tate Modern, you've got the Potato Modern. Instead of Waterloo Bridge, you've got Loo Bridge. Instead of Big Ben, you've got Little Ben. Instead of Hyde Park, you've got Hide and Seed Park. Oxford Circus and Piccadilly Circus, they remain as such, but they're real circuses.
Yeah.
And you've got Teacup Roundabout. You've got the Playhouses of Parliament. It's brilliant. You've got Canary Wharf with a real canary in a massive wharf.
Yeah.
And what I've also done, David, which I didn't do before, because I was enjoying the book so much, is I've actually marked up a couple of bits in the book because they just jumped out at me.
Okay.
So here we go. This is about Barry. Today, Barry wasn't trying to get to sleep anyway. He was too angry and he knew that. He knew that if he went to sleep by tomorrow, the argument would all be forgotten about and he didn't want that. That just jumped out at me. When you have to remember to be angry and you know that if you sleep too well, you might forget to be grumpy the next day and that will be to pay disservice to your future evening self.
Yes, that's right. It's a bit ridiculous. We've been talking about sleep, right?
It's so like, mad, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's true. Thank you for reading that bit. I wrote this book 10 years ago, so I'd forgotten that bit. But you're right. I think, particularly as a kid, you want to hold on to your anger. Because Barry's angry with his parents when that happens, right?
It's hard to carry on being angry.
It's exhausting. The stamina of being angry. I'm very bad at it. Like, if someone, you know, does something that I'm annoyed about, within about a minute, I think I can't be bothered with staying angry with them. But when you're a kid, I think you do want to hold on to it,
totally.
Especially if it's your parents, you know, who have done something you think is, you know, it's not supportable, this. I shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be. You feel the unfairness of it, right?
Yes.
I think that's how Barry is. He feels like something's unfair about his life.
Yeah, unfairness, the feeling of unfairness doesn't last usually, thank God. And what about when you used to flounce up to your room? So you weren't sent to your room because you knew that was going to happen anyway. So you sort of beat your parents to the chase. And you go to your room, you slam your bedroom door, and then you realise they can't see you being angry. But you carry on being angry because you think they might feel it a couple of floors down.
Yeah.
And then you realise that it's exhausting. So you think, well, I'll just save being angry in case they open the door. So you're on anger standby.
Well, I think.
Do you know that one?
Yeah.
I think 100%. Also you're right there because I think for... I wrote a book called The God Desire, which is about being an atheist. Very different book. But in it, I talk about how I think people's idea of God is of an eternal parent who can always see what's happening to them. Right, and I think when you're a kid, that is the thing. Even if they're not in the room, they should know. They should know how I feel. Do you know? Right. So that's why I'm angry. So I'm going to stay angry because they'll know it somehow.
Yes. And they don't. And they don't care because they were kids themselves once. Kids. Yeah. There's the news. We were once kids.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing, isn't it? About like I think being what you do, what I do, it allows you to some extent stay the kid that we always are. Right?
Yeah.
Because we only pretend to be adults. We're all just winging adulthood. It's not a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we get older, we look older, but inside we're about 12, right?
Well, I was talking to somebody about just this yesterday. Billy, my ex-wife, we were having a chat about it. And I said, the thing is, you know, they say don't grow up, it's a trap. We know that. I like that T-shirt. And then you grow up and it is a trap. But actually, for the first, like in your 20s and 30s, you feel a bit grown. You think, oh, yeah, I feel grown up. And then you realise, no, I'm really not grown up. I just have bills.
Yeah.
And then I have children.
Yeah.
But I'm really not grown up because you don't grow up because you get to a certain emotional and physical age and you sort of stay where you feel most comfortable from an internal ageing point of view. And it has nothing to do with the calendar. I've just got to get onto something else here.
Okay.
So I marked something else. Because I've read it before, and then it's like watching a film again. You notice different things. This is beautiful because this was a book. When this book was written, it was box fresh, and I think if things are box fresh when they were born, they actually stay box fresh. This is it's gorgeous. So he's talking about when he's with these famous parents on one of the parent trialing road test days.
Yeah.
Barry, and Barry goes to this thing and he goes to see this premiere of a film and then he goes to the after party and it's so funny. Then afterwards, we went to an enormous party called, for some reason, the after party. But it was the party. And this suggests there was a party, and this is the party that's after that party. But there wasn't a party.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, Dave.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. Thank you. Yeah, well, it's one of the things, I think I'm quite good at channeling the child within me.
Yeah.
And no doubt, when I first started going to premieres, I thought, why do they call it an after party? That's just stupid.
This is the party.
It's the party. There wasn't a party before, right? That'd be an after party. How many parties do you need? Is there an after party?
They just dropped the word in the middle. The after film party, the after show party, the after holiday party, the after... But it's after what party?
After what? It doesn't make any sense at all.
But
it's him trying to make sense of this world, this adult world, you know, that he's not used to. I mean, as it happens, I'm doing... You know, I did my show about my parents.
Right? So
interesting to this childhood thing, because I did this show called My Family, Not the Sitcom, which is about my parents. I'm doing it again. I'm doing all three of my one-man shows. I'm recording them at the Royal Court at the end of March for Sky, which means, by the way, that I have to do one show on Thursday, one show on Friday, one show on Saturday, which at my age is mad, because that's a lot of material to try and get right. But the My Family show is sort of about how you remain in a sort of child-based relationship with your parents, even when they're not there anymore, because my parents have gone, right? But you still sort of feel like a child trying to make sense of what happened to you when you were a kid, right? And I think, for me, because I had a mad childhood, it comes to the point where you celebrate it. You celebrate the madness of your childhood,
of course.
Right? But rather than thinking, you know the way it is now, like lots of people think I'm going to be misery memoir about it. I'm going to talk about the damage. And there was damage in my childhood, but what it's led to is me.
Yeah.
I'm actually really happy with
it. Well, it's called damage if you want to frame it that way, and it's also just called life.
Yeah, it's life, exactly.
And the thing about your parents not being here anymore, and I'm obviously, you know, I'm sorry about that, and my parents aren't here anymore, I wish they were. But when they were alive, there were a lot of times when they weren't there.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like they weren't there because they hadn't died.
Yeah, that's true.
And so they are actually still here.
Yeah, no, that's completely right.
Because we have them in us. And, you know, your mum's nose is on your face.
It's more my dad's nose.
Oh, your dad's nose, but you know what I mean?
No, totally.
Or your grandma's.
Well, and my son looks like my dad when he was young.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a bit like my dad. I mean, my dad had dementia, as I'm sure you know, because my show is partly about that. But... So he never really engaged. I mean, he wasn't a bloke who would have engaged much with grandchildren anyway, to be honest. But he never really engaged with my son. But my son is weirdly like my dad, I think.
Or not.
Well, in that he's funny in the same way that my dad was funny. He's got this sort of like not really caring about anything thing that my dad had. I mean, that I might have that, I don't know. But he really reminds me of my dad. And that might be me just projecting, because at some level I want my dad to still be here, right?
Yeah.
So I might just be projecting like...
Got a theory?
Oh, you've got a theory, okay.
You're more like your dad than you realise or want to acknowledge, and actually your son's just like you.
Yeah, well, that might be true. That might be true. I mean, you know, I sort of feel like, you know, you're right that my parents were not always around. They were not like parenting is now, right? I think Jerry Seinfeld says this thing about parents back then. For them, children were like raccoons in the sense that there's one around here somewhere, but I've got no idea where it is, right?
rustling in the bushes.
Yeah, who knows? And my parents were like that. They were not. Parenting was not a verb that they knew about. But they were still these massive figures in my life, despite their neglect and absence and basic craziness. Because the thing that my parents did, the show is also about the fact that my mum had an affair with a golfing memorabilia.
I remember.
You remember that?
Yeah.
They thus spent most of her time thinking about golf rather than her children, to be honest, right? Which is kind of a weird one, but there we are. Now I feel all of that is rich.
Yeah.
It's rich and textured.
But it's funny you say feel and not think.
Yeah.
Because they do say the feeling body is greater than the thinking mind. It's just that the mind wants us to think the opposite.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I think that's true. Yeah, I do feel it. I feel it emotionally. And I sort of love it. You know, I sort of love that my childhood was, you know, knackered and weird rather than...
Well, you have a choice. You can love it or hate it. So just love it.
Mm.
Because it's
that's true
more
about
helpful.
Life. It is more helpful. It's a good way of thinking. Yeah, it's a good way of thinking.
There's a great story about somebody who is, I think he's been scientifically proven to be the happiest person in the world. And the reason he's the happiest person in the world is because one day, 15 years ago, he just decided to be.
Really?
Yeah.
Who is that person?
I can't remember. It's a guy in America, and they've researched him, and they said, and his backstory is, the astonishing bit of his backstory is the least sort of profound bit. The reason he's the happiest person in the world is because he decided to be.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm not sure I would hang out with that guy. He sounds like he might be quite annoying.
Yeah, I might have made him up. Yeah. One of the greatest bits about the book, and it's all great anyway, so one of the greatest bits about a great book is the fact that little Barry's fairy godmothers are Lionel Messi and Daniel Craig, who come to life from posters on his bedroom wall.
Yeah.
I love that thought. When did that? How did that come to you, that thought?
Well, I
posters
just thought...
coming alive.
If I was a boy now, right,
yeah,
who would I want on my wall? And this book was written 10 years ago. It would probably be Mbappe now or whoever.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was Lionel Messi, and I was obsessed with James Bond when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, I'll have Daniel Craig. And then I just thought, well, the wall in his bedroom, that's going to sort of disappear, and he's going to go into Youngden. He's going to go in. So who are the gatekeepers of that? I'll make them... like Lionel and Daniel. But then what was funny, and this is just the way I write, right? I don't plan anything in advance. I think, oh, he's got posters on his wall. Oh, they can gatekeep. Oh, when they come alive, they'll have a bit of an argument, won't they? Because James is a bit, like, ridiculous because he's pretending that he has to go off and be on the underside of a stealth bomber at any minute. And Lionel thinks what an idiot he is, and he's dressed like a waiter. And then that leads to a funny scene where Barry's thinking, what's going on? Right? Why are they just arguing? It's supposed to be magic, right? So I just think it's... I just write from moment to moment, right? Like improvisation.
Yeah,
that's how I write. And then hopefully it structures itself like a book.
Mate, it does more than that. And the thing about the posters come to life, isn't it interesting that as we get older, subconsciously or consciously, we try and bring those posters to life by realising the dreams of the posters that were on our walls?
Yeah. So explain that a bit more.
Okay, so for example, if you couldn't afford the Ferrari F40 that was the poster on your wall, one day when you're older, you might buy it and then realise it doesn't tick the box that the poster did.
Right, you might be able to do that.
No, whatever.
I don't know if everyone can do that.
But it's the dream.
Yeah. Well,
sneakers is... To be honest, I said that because it was easy to understand, but sneakers is the new big thing.
Right.
A lot of dads are buying the sneakers they couldn't afford when Jordan Air ones came out in the first place.
Well, also, you know, I mean... You know, I might be lucky enough to meet some of the people who were on my wall. And then, of course, you realise that they are human beings.
Yeah.
Like, when you're a kid, they're like angels, sort of.
Oh, without question.
I mean, I'm actually writing a memoir based on The Family Show, and one of the things I talk about in it is how far away the world of the telly seemed when I was a kid. I don't think that's the case now. Yeah. I think because of the internet stuff,
YouTube.
Kids feel that you can just walk into it. But when I was watching, it felt like a complete other universe. And for my bar mitzvah, I got given a cheap electric guitar by my parents. And a guy at school, when I told him that, I hadn't brought it in, I just told him about electric guitar, he didn't believe that I had an electric guitar. Because people on Top of the Pops had electric guitar, not... little nerdy kids from Dollis Hill. It's a symbol
true.
Of another world, right? But yes, you can, like Barry, you can go to the magical world.
Johnny Marr has written this amazing book about guitars. It's a photographic... Have you seen it?
I've seen the book.
It's beautiful. I got it at home. He came in and obviously we were sent one so I could read it. And I still genuinely look at it. It is a fantastic book. It's all his guitars, beautiful photograph, like supermodels or supercars or whatever you like. And then... Because he remembers everything. Maybe he wrote it all down. He's extremely studious and obviously unbelievably talented. And he describes how he came across the guitar. But he speaks to what you just said. He said, when I first knew someone who had an electric guitar, the only way you could see an electric guitar was to get to go and see a band.
Yeah.
And to go and see a band when you were my age was almost impossible unless there was a wedding or something like that. And sometimes you go to a wedding or you gatecrash a wedding as a kid just so you could see a real electric guitar being played.
Yes, yes. No, it's such a symbol of another world, of rock and roll and of something that doesn't feel like there's a bridge to it.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like that. Can I just tell you something about Johnny Marr, if I've got time? Johnny Marr, I interviewed him when I used to host the Penguin podcast about the Penguin books.
Yeah.
And Johnny, I interviewed him about his biography, which is great. And I brought along, Frank Skinner bought me for my 40th birthday a Gibson Flying V, a blue Gibson Flying V, a lovely present. And I've hardly ever played it to us because it's quite hard to play a Flying V because it's got no little bit for your leg to go on. Anyway, I brought it along. I brought it along because I wanted something to happen, which I wasn't sure was going to happen, right? Which is at the end of it, I said, look, would you mind just playing something together? Can we just play This Charming Man together? And he said, yeah, just straight away. And so I played the rhythm, because obviously I played the rhythm, and I'm playing the rhythm, and then he starts doing the riff. And honestly, it was one of the best moments of my life. If anyone wants to go and listen to it, you can see me become a child. You can
How
hear
do we
me.
Get there? What's
I think
the
it's
URL?
The Penguin Podcast, me interviewing Johnny Marr.
Come on,
at the end of it, it finishes with me, like in Ratatouille, where Antoine Ego is returned to childhood. I am so happy at the end of it.
Amazing. Two more things. Talking to the wonderful David Deal about the parent agency. Please, please, please get it. If you haven't read it or you've read it before, read it again. You'll see one of the wonderful things that I saw yesterday that had me in stitches laughing and in tears crying. Funny, sometimes moving, always engaging, says The Guardian. It's a brilliant book. A couple of quick questions to David and also to Rachel. To Vassos. Posters on the wall, blue tack or drawing pins?
Blue tack.
Blue tack.
Drawing pins.
Drawing pins.
Wow.
Did you sellotape the corners to protect them from the drawing pins?
No, should have done.
Did that. That's where I was. I was sort of in between the two. And my other question to you, David, now, is how big a James Bond fan are you?
Well, I'm not as much a fan as I was when I was a kid.
Right.
When I was a kid, I used to read all the Ian Fleming books.
Right.
Are you going to ask me a trivia question?
I'm just going to say, because all the way through the book, because obviously Barry wants a James Bond party for his birthday.
Yeah.
It's all about the car.
Yes.
It's all about the DB6.
The DB6, yeah.
But James Bond drove a DB5.
That's why I have got to sack my copy editors.
And there are pictures of it.
Really?
There are no. Yeah,
is it just wrong?
Couldn't be more wrong.
Oh, dear.
But the DB6, far more superior car.
Oh, well, maybe that's what I knew somehow.
Yeah.
Because my dad used to collect tin toys and tin model cars or whatever, so maybe I somehow knew that the DB6 is a superior
Doesn't matter.
Car.
Just putting it out there.
Yeah, it's fine, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
They wanted to use an E-Type Jag, but they couldn't get one, and Aston Martin gave them a DB4 that they dressed up to look like a DB5 and blah, 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 blah. You're great.
Thank you so much.
You're amazing.
Thank you.
Come see us whenever you like.
I will do. If you want to come see my show at the Royal Court, by the way.
Tell us more.
Recording, you can come. You can definitely come, and I think there are some tickets being sold. Yeah, Vassos.
It was just
Rachel,
me and Rach for a second then, wasn't it?
It was a bit, yeah.
Dabbed you in as opposed to dobbing you in, which I usually dob you in, but I just dabbed you in.
Yeah, Vassos, thank you very much.
Your daughter... No, your daughter shouldn't come. She's too young. Although, I've been listening
Mary's Review!
Mary's Review, we nearly forgot it.
Is that... That was very clever.
Thank you. I was wondering, because I've been on tenterhooks ever since it was mentioned.
The Parent Agency 10th Anniversary Release, out now. Mary's Review is just in.
The Parent Agency is absolutely hilarious. I enjoyed it just as much second time, because you forget all the little tiny details. Like a treadmill, where the television goes slower when you walk and speeds up only when you run. David Bedell is my favourite.
Thank you, Mary. I mean, it seems to me I've been coming here so long that I think she's about 17 and she's putting on that voice.
She's at university and she does, she does it in between cigarettes.
To be honest, she owns the building.
Craving some great 80s music? Play Virgin Radio 80s Plus. I want your love. On DAB Digital Radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, and at virginradio80splus.co.uk.
I got my mind set on you, even if we're just dancing in the dark.
Love Chris Evans.
Woo!
Love the 80s.
Virgin Radio.
80s Plus.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.